Matthew chapter number 5, real hurriedly. I want to read a couple of verses in your hearing, maybe say a few things in these verses. In chapter number 5 in the book of Matthew, this is known as in chapter 5, in chapter number 6, in chapter number 7 as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins to preach and begins to teach with the multitudes that have gathered there on the mountain and the disciples, and he began to teach them this new way that has not been introduced to these people up until this point. And so now he begins to preach to them. And a couple of verses in verse number 14, and stand with us if you would. And I want to read a couple, maybe three verses here in your hearing and say just a few words what I feel like the Lord lay on our heart. Chapter 5, verse 14. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our Father, we bow in your divine presence this morning. Lord, we come to you as humble as I know how, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to come into your house again. Father, I pray this morning for the church and ask you, dear God, that you'd bless each one that's here. Lord, you know the need of the hour. God, I pray if there be one among us that's not ever been saved, Lord, I pray that today would be the day, God, that you'd touch their heart, convict them of their sin, and draw them to an altar of repentance. We ask you now, Lord, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Thank you for your precious presence among your church. Go with us now. What you do for us, we'll be careful to thank you, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to draw something out of the text this morning, if the Lord will help me. In verse number 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, on glorifying God. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a minute this morning. On glorifying God. The Bible tells us that we're to glorify God in our own body, in our own members, in our body. We're to glorify God. I believe that when a person gets saved by the grace of God, there's a drastic change that takes place on the inside of a man, woman, boy, or girl. I believe the Bible tells us if any man be in Christ, he's created a new creature. He's brand new. What the old man is, he's no longer there anymore because we have left him at the altar when we got up in salvation. And we're to glorify God in our own bodies. I believe there ought to be a distinct difference in the saved and the unsaved. We ought not be like the world. If there's something that happened in your heart this morning, and we're saved by the grace of God, there ought to have been a change had taken place in our heart and therefore in our lives. And what had been happened on the inside, what had taken place on the inside, where we were cleansed by our sins, or cleansed by the blood from our sins, we're to show that on the outside. What is on the inside ought to come out on the outside. We're no longer our own, but we're bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid a sin debt with his own blood, and he purchased the church. He purchased us with his own blood. The old William is no longer here, but now there's the new man had taken place, which ought to glorify God. The Bible tells us here that in the text, he said, "Let your light so shine before men." He's looking for lights in this dark world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And truly he is. He came into the world and he lit up every man that cometh into the world. He made a difference in lives that were in darkness. And because of the bondage of their sin, he had set him free, he had set us free. The Bible said, whom the Son set free, he is free indeed. And so we're turned loose from the bondage of our sin and what sin has done in our lives and has literally destroyed us. I still believe that God can take an alcoholic, he can take a real drunkard, and he can save them, and he can change their lives and put them on the front bench of a church and even put them in the choir singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and singing "Amazing Grace" to bring glory to the Father. I still believe that God can take a mind that has been riveted by drugs and a person that has been addicted to drugs for years and years. I believe if that man will turn to God, amen, for salvation, amen, I believe that Jesus can change that individual. And he can put a clean mind in his head. Amen. And he can change his desires in his body to no longer love drugs, but to love Jesus. I still believe that God can do that. Don't you this morning? Amen. And I tell you, we have, churches have told the alcoholic and they have told the drug addict that God has no more power anymore, and that the church has now adopted drug rehab for drug addicts. I want to tell you what a change a drug addict is. Get him born again. The Lord can change a man that has been hooked on drugs and on alcohol and all kinds of addiction and set that man free. I still believe that. You may not believe it, but I do. Amen. I believe if he can take that crazy man that dwelt among the tombs. I don't know about you, but I've not seen anybody get that bad yet. I've not even seen an alcoholic or a drug addict living in the graveyard. Have you? I've not seen him cutting himself in the graveyard, hollering naked, running through the graveyard. Have you seen anybody get that low in their life? I haven't. That's about as low as you can get, isn't it? When the community can't even put chains on you and chain you down, he busted them loose and he would scream all night long. But when Jesus came to the other side where that man was, he looked at that man, thank God, and saved him and changed him. And the Bible said when the community saw him again that he was fully clothed and in his right mind. Well, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I still believe that Jesus can do that. Amen. I still do. I can't help it. Amen. Some reason or another we feel like that God can't do it anymore, but he can. That's the reason why he said, "Let your light so shine before men." We've got something to shine about. Amen. Because he has taken us out of the depths of our sin and he's put our feet up on a solid rock. Amen. And he put a new song in our mouth, even praise to his name. Glory to God. Amen. That's the reason why those angels out on the mountainside sung, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men." Glorify God. Glorifying God. The Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Well, there's the outline on how to let your light shine is to bring forth good works. Amen. To show forth good works. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 6, the Apostle Paul said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." He said, "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. He said, and this will we do if God permit, for it's impossible for those who once have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive blessing from God. Listen to this. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I believe when a person's saved, there's something else that accompanies salvation, and that's good works. He said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. I believe you ought to have some good works. Amen. I believe there ought to be some good out of us. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 6 that we can't just stay there at that salvation, but we've got to move on. Amen. That our lives would bring forth good works, that men can see the good and the good God that dwells in us and the God that makes every good and perfect gift. The Bible said they belong to God. Amen. Well, we glorify God by our good works, but the Bible tells us that we glorify Him with the gifts that God has given us. Well, if God has changed us, the Bible said we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and that none of yourselves, not of works, lest of any man should boast. Amen. It's not of works. It's not of works, but we're saved unto good works. There was none good, no, not one. But we've got to show the world that the good God, amen, brings forth good works in our hearts and lives, but He also gives us gifts. Amen. I'm glad that when He saves us, that He just don't throw us out there to fend for ourselves, but He empowers us. And that He helps us with gifts. Amen. That's what we need to operate as a Christian. That's what we need to operate as a church. The Bible said in chapter number 12 in the book of 1 Corinthians, He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, my brethren, He said, I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, you've got them. Amen. Use them for the glory of God. The Bible said, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. He said that there should be no schism in the body. In other words, one person has no right to glorify in himself and in the gift that God has given him. God has given you a gift to bring glory to God. Amen. And so there are some that differ in gifts. Amen. But I believe God has given us gifts. Everyone that He's ever saved has a gift that God has given them to bring glory to the Father. The Bible said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. He said, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongue. All are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And so God has given to each individual gifts And he starts with the 13th chapter in this same book, and he begins to talk about the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. Amen. There's one thing that we can glorify of the Father in, amen, is in our lives, but it's also in our love, that we glorify God in our love towards one another. The Bible said, by this they shall know that ye are my disciples, that you love one another, or that you have love for one another. I want to tell you, we may differ in a lot of things in our personalities and in our thinking and all of these things, but it takes everybody, amen, glorifying God together. Can you imagine what kind of meeting we'd have here at Antioch Baptist Church if we would just glorify the Father, amen? Glorify God. Make a big difference in our gathering today. The world is starving to death to see the light of the world. They're starving to death to see the church, amen, glorifying God. It's not about us, it's about Him. It's about Him. We glorify God in our good works and in our gifts, but we glorify God in our givings. In our givings. You remember, we studied it in our Sunday school this morning about the little widow that gave the two mites. It wasn't a coincidence Jesus so happened to be up at the penury when that happened. He had his disciples there, and they were coming in there, and they were pouring in their money, and they were just pouring it all out there thinking that they were doing God some great service, but what they were doing was bringing attention to themselves. It's what they were doing, bringing attention to themselves. You know, the more I think about the performances that are going on in the church today rather than the praise, it bothers me that people have to worry more. I remember this young girl when I was helping in a revival one time. She was just I believe she might have been 10 or 11 years old. And she had been to drama school. And you know how they'll do with that drama school. They teach you to talk with your hands. And they teach you to do this stuff when you're singing and so forth. Well, they got her up there to sing. And the church house was packed full. And that little girl got up there. And she just bounced up on the stage. Looked like Shirley Temple. Some of you younger ones don't know who she is, do you? Did y'all ever watch Shirley Temple? You ever notice she always done her little tap dances and she'd do all that? You remember that? And she'd bounce up on the stage. This little girl bounced up on the stage and she started with all of that. And there wasn't a spirit nowhere in it. Nowhere in it. It was the biggest performance of drama that you ever seen in your life. And the people were just watching that. First time I'd ever seen that. And it looked like somebody, felt like somebody had poured ice water on the meeting. People that know the real God, amen, then they know how it feels to feel the Spirit of God, knows the difference in performance and praise. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not interested in performing. I'm interested in praising God. Amen. That He might get glory. Well, bless His holy name. And I thought, honest, as they got that little girl up there and they finally set her down and the whole church erupted in applause and hollered at that young girl, and that young girl left the stage of bowing to the church. And I thought, Lord have mercy, the church don't know the difference between entertainment and worship. I want to tell you, we're to glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. Don't you leave here and get mad at me. I know the difference. And you should know the difference. If you don't know the difference, you ought to get born again. And you'll know the difference. Amen. But we're to glorify God in the gifts and in the givings and in everything we do. How we're to look at it as a giving ministry. For God so loved the world that He gave His very best. He gave His best.
He gave his only son, amen, his only son, and brought him down to earth to crucify him. He gave, and if there's anything that we can glorify him in, is our giving, amen. Give of our talent, give of our treasure, give of our time. We ought to give to God that we might glorify him. That woman put them two mites in. And Jesus said, come here. Come here, I want you to watch this. And she comes up there. You remember them little pouches where you squeeze, they open them up. Older folks used to put their change in them. We don't do that anymore. But she popped it open, fumbled around there. I can see that little widow woman, a little humped in her back, her long dress on. She makes her way to the treasury and pulls out them two little mites. The whole time, Jesus is just gleaming because she's given from her heart. Amen. All of her living. She's given to God everything she had. And she said, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you see of all these men, he said, they give of their treasures and their abundance. He said, but look at this woman, how she gives of her whole life. Amen. She gives her whole living to me. Thank God we can glorify God with our living. Amen. We can glorify him with our giving. This morning, we ought to be able to give God glory in every aspect of our life, that we won't be glorified, but that he'll be glorified, that God will be recognized in our lives. Sister Janice, I'd like for you to come to the piano. If we've robbed God of glory, we ought to ask God to forgive us. If we've taken anything from God that belonged to God, we ought to come to the altar and ask God to forgive us. If we've slacked God, we want to come and ask God to forgive us of our slackness. If we fail to love as he tells us to love, if we've failed to live as he told us to live, if we fail to serve, labor, to bring him glory, and we've done it not, what ask God to forgive us of any glory that we've robbed from God? And give it to God. Oh, he said, give God glory. Give God glory. Let's stand this morning.